From the Land Grant University in Urbana, Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the first day of May 2026. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlo. He's at globalcomresearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. And we'll hear from Eric Snodgrass. He'll help us take a look at the agricultural weather for the end of the month of April, parts of May, and into the summer here in the United States. And then an update he's been talking about with some persistence as it's related to maybe some trouble with the corn crop, second crop, Safrina, in Brazil. We'll do all of that during the Closing Market Report. And then if you can stay with us for the whole of the hour, you'll hear all of our Commodity Week program. Our guests this week included Arlen Suderman, Ellen Dearden, and Logan Kimmel.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn for the day settled at $4.68 and a quarter. That was 3.5 cents higher. July contract on the day up 5.5 cents. It finished at $4.80 and a quarter cents. In December at $4.98 and three quarters, up 4.5 cents. It did go to a high at $5.03 and a cent. Bean meal futures, rather soybeans, at $11.87 and three quarters, up 5 and three quarters. July $12.03 and a quarter, 7 and three quarters higher. And new crop November $11.82 and three quarters, up 9 3/4 cents. Bean meal now down $1.50 at $3.20.80. The bean oil at $76.65, 29 cents lower. July soft red winter wheat a penny higher today at $6.37 3/4. The hard red up one as well at $6.94 5 on this Friday afternoon, May the 1st. Mike Zuzlo, GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us for today.
Good to be back with you again. Happy Friday, Todd.
Hey, it's Friday, and at some point during the day, it was $5 corn and $12 beans, December and July, frankly, but it's still $5 corn at one point and $12 beans at some other point in the day. What's the market worried about?
Well, it finally makes sense that we're seeing the wheat and the corn find support off of the energy markets. I think we had to go through the end of the month price action on Thursday's trade. And I think that kind of slowed us down as we waited for the new Iranian peace plan, quote unquote. Late breaking news is that President Trump is not happy or satisfied with it. I think more importantly, in terms of the row crops, the corn and the beans specifically, I think the market realizing that we've turned the calendar to May 1st, it's really time to get the crop planted, and weather is not looking very conducive to that in some key areas still. So I think it adds a little bit more importance, and more of a spotlight will be put on Monday's planting progress report. And I think the trade just did not want to go home short, given that it's May 1st. Last thing I'll say, weather related as well. We can talk about the wheat if you like, but we're finally starting to see a little bit more news come out of Center West Brazil. I've just been kind of sitting back, waiting to see what the market would be talking about at the end of April, early May, on the Safrina corn. Some private forecasters are now talking about the West Central Brazil drought rising to historic levels in a dry outlook by this private forecaster. So I think that probably caught some attention as well, Todd.
Indeed, and we'll hear again, I think, about that a bit later in the program today. Eric Snodgrass, I know, will discuss some of that. I do want to talk about the horses at the gate, not out of the gate, as it's related to planting slowdowns. That is kind of weird juxtaposition there, but still waiting to be released. It'll be another, what, two and a half, three weeks before the trade gets really worried about that. But you put that together with what's happening in the Middle East, and it seems like it might be supportive for a while.
Yeah, I think what we've talked about has been pretty much spot on over the big picture, because we're back to about a 97% positive price relationship between lead month WTI crude and lead month soft red wheat. And I think that is combining with the force of the hard red wheat crop. And as we've talked about before, I still think that given the crop conditions hitting 35% very poor, big states like Oklahoma at 45% very poor. It's not a stretch with very cold weather this weekend and potentially another dry week ahead of us that they're driving towards a 2012 type scenario with their hard red wheat crop out in some areas of Colorado, Kansas, and Nebraska. If you ask me, 2012, like what we had in Indiana and East Central Illinois in the corn market. So these two forces, I think, have finally come together. And boy, it's been a long time waiting. I've taken a lot of phone calls saying something to the effect, you've always said wheat's going to lead. When's it going to lead? When's it going to drag corn up? So hopefully we get a good positive price action in May, and hopefully at the same time, producers can get some plantings done.
Last week when we talked to you, you discussed some things that you and Dan O'Brien had been doing on the road. He'd been traveling around the state. We had our regular conversation with him on Tuesday of this week, where he said he had seen fields that had been sprayed to kill them so that they could be replaced. Are you hearing very much about that in parts of, and he said mostly central part of Kansas?
Yeah, you get past, you get west of Hutchinson and it starts to dry up really, really quick. I'd say the epicenter of the problems, the worst problems, are Burlington, Colorado to Colby, Kansas. And so, yeah, abandonment 10, 20%, not surprising to us at this point, and it could go up. I took my wheat yield down to 48.5 at the beginning or the middle of last month. I will take that down to 45 bushels by the middle of this month if this weather pattern doesn't break. That's going to be the lowest since 2021, and that's all wheat yield. We're also going to see probably some waterlogged soft red wheat and maybe some disease pressure crop up on the soft red wheat we're going to have to watch out for in the coming 60 days, especially along US 50 in that southern half of Illinois.
Obviously, you'll be watching the weekly crop progress report on Monday next week. What else is coming up that we need to think about?
Well, the Iranian situation is pretty dire at this point because you've got some pretty big, knowledgeable energy firms saying they've got about 10 to 20 days of oil capacity left. And if they shut in those wells, there's going to be a good chunk of them, it's expected, that will never come back to production. So all of a sudden, you're talking about losing 2, 3, 4 million barrels a day of production permanently. And I don't think the market's really contented with that in the futures yet. So still more about the wheat and more about the crude oil, and then we can blend in there what kind of corn planting progress we have, and then get ready and hunker down for the May crop report coming up not too long from now.
Yeah, just for clarification's sake, those would be oil wells in Iran, Iraq, maybe a few other places as well, because they're all kind of stuck behind the blockade at the moment.
Yes, and it would be especially in Iran because they're running out of storage. Iraq may be able to get a little bit more out through some other areas, but it's going to get, as I said to clients in my special energy report I just put out, it's going to get real in the month of May if this doesn't change.
Did you tell them that they might watch this and consider locking in even high-priced diesel for the fall?
Yeah, I went ahead this week and did some summer diesel. I'm going to give the biodiesel market a chance to reward us maybe by the fall with some ramping up of production, see how fast it comes on here the next 60 days. But then I'll have to make some tough decisions on the fall diesel as well if we don't see any headway.
Oh, on that note, President Xi, President Trump expected to meet on the 14th day of May. Will there be some thoughts there? Maybe not on soybeans, but other kinds of agricultural products and possibly UCO coming into the United States still.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I'm still 50-50 on whether the meeting's even going to take place. There was a pretty tough phone call reportedly this week between the Bessent and his counterpart from China, and they exchanged some pretty decent unpleasantries, to put it nicely. So I think we're still 50-50 on that meeting even happening, Todd.
Okay. Before I let you go, beef cattle, what do we know about them?
You know, the beef cattle market has got almost a perfect scenario of strong cash, strong futures as some of the futures expired. What we're going to have to watch out for in the next 10 days is see if the corn keeps going up and whether that kicks the feeders back down, and also whether Wall Street can maintain these kind of gains. So I've pulled hedges. I'm getting ready to go back into hedges for Q3 if I don't see the right things happen here in the first 10 days of May.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's at globalcommresearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. It is a production of Illinois Public Media at University of Illinois Extension. Our theme music is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. Do visit our website. The address is willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org, where you will find information from the agricultural economist, the crop scientist, and the animal scientist right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. Each and every day that is updated with a brand new story of some sort. In fact, if you check there tomorrow morning, you'll find a review of what happened during the closing market report on that page in written form. Check it out in the blog post that comes to you at willag.org on Saturday mornings and late Friday afternoons. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast for the growing regions across the planet. Eric Snodgrass is here. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agribal. Hi, Eric. Thanks for being with us. I want to start with something that you and I experienced earlier in the week, and many have been experiencing all spring long. We had a tornado that ran right through Mahomet. Tell me about the severe weather that we have had and recap that across the Corn Belt for me.
Yeah, I mean, Monday was a pretty rough night across a lot of Illinois. We had actually two big rounds of storms on Monday, and we're actually still seeing the effect of that. I mean, I drove through the country just yesterday, and the number of fields that are still just ponds in them from Monday's rains is pretty intense. But yeah, so we had some pretty nasty storms come through, and this is what was interesting, Todd. Where we are in Mahomet and Champaign, for that matter, you know, we're about, well, Lincoln is where our radar is. So we're roughly, I guess you'd say 80 miles away from the radar site, something like that. And is that right? 80 kilometers. Yes, 80 kilometers. Yeah. I always get my units mixed up. So yeah, 80 kilometers, about 60 miles away. And so the radar beam is scanning above us about a mile. Okay, so that just, you got to know that. It's not scanning what's happened in the lower levels. So here's why I tell you that. I was looking at the radar presentation of the storms coming over. And by the way, I had the entire neighborhood in my basement because I told my wife, I'm like, hey, why don't we text the neighbors? They don't have basements. Tell them to come over because this is going to be, I think we're going to get some really strong winds. And the storms were blasting out of the west and the radar was showing them coming out of the west. Well, when all the neighborhood was in my basement, I just stood upstairs for a minute doing that typical Midwestern dad thing, looking out the window. And I noticed all of a sudden the winds shifted hard out of the east and my house lurched and I moved. I don't know if you've ever seen kind of a chubby white guy run. I moved my butt.
I have, it's me.
I moved my butt downstairs pretty quick because I knew something was starting to spin up. And sure enough, we had a bunch of uprooted trees over here. I had a bunch of limbs down in the yard, blew my neighbor's fence over. And, you know, it puts a cap on what's been an incredibly, incredibly busy April. But it's a narrow corridor over which we saw all of these reports. Just so you know, Illinois has had 100 more tornadoes measured so far in 2026 than Texas. And so we have seen a lot of severe weather come through. And as a result, it's been a problem because when it does come through, we've gotten locally heavy rain. We've had huge hail. And on either side of it, it's been dry, but they did get some rain in the Mid-South the last couple of days. It is raining in Texas. It's going to rain all the way across the South over this weekend. And as that rain moves through, it's going to hit some of the dry spots on the drought monitor. So something's changing, Todd, as we flip the calendar.
No, tell me about that. What is it?
Yeah, well, big news is massive ridge moving into the west. We didn't have that in April, but a big ridge moving into the west is going to send temperatures in like Washington, Oregon, and Idaho up into the 90s. We're going to watch that ridge shove a big trough over the Great Lakes, which means we're going to see multiple chances for some really cold air for this time of year. I don't think we have frost risk in Champaign, but you don't have to go very far north, east, or west of us to get where that frost risk is going to be prevalent, not just this weekend, but again on May 7th and 8th and 9th. I think we have two shots at colder air coming through. Now, as I've said all along, I think once we get past this mid-May point, we blow the doors off of this and we start to see the warm conditions and the GDD start to add up. But if you got planted before all of this, we might be just sitting and waiting to get enough heat in the ground because In the next 7 days alone, we're in deficit in GDDs by about 50 compared to where we would average be. But it will be drier. It'll be drier. It's just going to be much cooler.
Now, you mentioned the heat that's coming. What's the latter part of May? You said drier and warmer going to look like. And then maybe talk about El Nino, because we've heard about that a lot and transitioning to it. It was supposed to be quick. I don't know that that really happened.
Sure. So, yeah, we do expect things to warm up once we're well past Mother's Day and we've got some better conditions in place here. The question is are we going to have a hot summer, right? I mean, if we look at what typically hits yield hardest, it's not drought, it's heat. And by all objective measures I've got right now, I don't think we're looking at a super hot summer. Now, again, that's me shooting myself in the foot. We will have time periods that get hot in the summer. I'm looking at the whole thing. We're going to have continuous heat or just bouts of it. And I would tell you, Todd, we have warm water off the Baja of California. We've got an El Nino building. And at present, there's not a lot of cold water in the Gulf of Alaska, nor are we forecasting cold water in the Gulf of Alaska. And all of those three things, we call it kind of the Pacific Ocean trifecta there, all right? All of those things suggest that Midwest summer is likely going to be stormier and maybe near average to cooler than average based off historical correlations. Now, we all know how good those are, right? I mean, it's not like it's a perfect correlation, but that's what we see at the current moment. And I was just talking to Matt Bennett the other day. He's like, man, don't tell me that. And I said, what? He goes, I cannot have another cool, wet summer. It makes the crops stay in the ground too long. It's hard to harvest. Got to pay money to get the thing dried down. He goes, just don't tell me this is like 2009. I said, it's not like 2009, man, but it's looking to be that way now. So here's what you got to watch. We have the warm water off the Baja of California, bunch of it. It's a big marine heat wave. We have El Nino. But in summer, the most important thing are the ocean temperatures in the Gulf of Alaska. And they can still change a lot. And if they go cold, we go hot. If they go hot, we go cold. That tends to be the way things go. So we just need to watch there over the next 45 days or so to determine if we do have the summer heat coming on. But in the near term, like I said, got some cooler weather coming in two rounds. Got the weekend round this, and then the one on the 7th and 8th. And then I think after Mother's Day, we start to see much more consistent, warmer temperatures. And we'll just wait to see if we can get to the end of May with some better precipitation chances.
Better turn your attention to South America. If you can detail some of the things that have been happening there and what you think about the Safrina crop, I would appreciate it.
Well, what's funny is what I keep thinking about the Safrina crop, nobody seems to care. So what I mean is we've been dry across parts of the Cerrado, which is the huge growing area for that Safrina crop. It's been drier in the month of April, and the new forecast for the next 2 weeks is drier. And just to understand it, this is the end of the monsoon, which means that crop finished under dry conditions. And it's just like what happens to us in late August and September. If we don't have that last bit of moisture to put the weight on the crop, well, we know what it does to our yields and what it does to our test weights. And I don't think they had the rain, and nor it's more coming to that area. I say that, and yet I don't see anybody making adjustments to any of the big numbers, which means if that adjustment comes, it may be another 30 days away before it starts to be newsworthy with kind of thinking where we'll be in the growing season. You know, we'll kind of have an idea on the size of this crop. So maybe that's a story for a month from now, but right now no one seems to really be talking about it.
We'll probably ask you again before we get to a month from now, but we'll do it.
Right.
Hey, thank you so much for talking with us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions, and Dagable joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world, online on demand at WILLAG.org.